We'd like to turn to the book of Genesis this evening, Genesis chapter 6, and we've made our way to the account of Noah. So here in Genesis chapter 6, being reading in verse 1. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which are of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, what we've highlighted for you before in the transition from Genesis 4 and 5 is the stark contrast between the lineage of Cain and the lineage of Seth. And we now find the end result of what we find here of the intermingling of those two lines. One line that is focused solely on the world, and one line that is focused on serving and worshiping Jehovah God. And what we find here is that very quickly, when you have what the New Testament would call an unequal yoking, we're told to not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. We find a unequal yoking between the sons of God and the daughters of men, most likely a reference to the intermingling of the Jehovah-worshipping lineage of Seth with the worldly-minded lineage of Cain. Well, what happens? It's shocking. Where the end destination is at, that only 1,656 years after creation, okay, Noah's flood is 1,600 years after creation, and the descent of the culture is so pervasive.
Right.
That the Lord says, I'm going to wipe out the whole earth except for 8 people. That's the destination, okay? That's where it ended up at. But how did it get there? How did it get there? It got there because of the corruption and the fall of the family.
Yeah.
The corruption and the compromise of marriage that led to the corruption of the rearing of children in the family.
Amen.
And you continue to escalate that over generations upon generations. You know, it's absolutely shocking. We'll probably elaborate on this further in later messages as we really get into Noah's flood, but it is truly shocking that only 8 people. And there's not anything necessarily said negatively about Noah's wife or his sons or their wives. But regardless whether all eight people were as devoted as Noah or whether they were just the blessed blessed recipients of the faithfulness of Noah, God has a people out of every nation, kindred, people, and tongue.
Right.
And there were not eight elect people on the face of the earth. Okay? It is unreasonable.
Right.
It is absolutely unreasonable to presume out of the millions of people on the face of this earth that there was only eight elect people.
Right.
What does that mean? That means that there were scores upon scores upon scores of children of God that you could tell no difference from their actions from anyone else that was wholly given to the pursuits and the worldly mindset of the world. Okay?
Right.
It is absolutely shocking that we arrived at that destination, but comparatively so quickly.
Yeah.
I mean, how did it escalate so quickly that, and we say 1600 years from creation, it is probably in more of a 500 year time frame. You know, a 500-year time frame, or a maybe a 1,000-year, but really, what's really amazing is, you know, these people in these days, they lived for 900 years, so it was literally within two lifetimes. Okay, and we look back and somebody might say, well, you have no idea how things used to be back in the good old days, and things have changed so much in my lifetime. Could you imagine these people that are 900 years old seeing this? Boy, we think the graph's going down now. Man, how horrible of a graph it must have been for these people, saying how horrible things have got around us.
Right. Amen.
That's the destination. Okay? That's the destination. What was the beginning? What was the beginning of that? Genesis 6 and verse 1. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all that they chose. And then verse 4. There were giants in the earth in those days. And it came to pass when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men that they bare children to them, and the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. There's always a little bit of a balance that I struggle with of having God's people informed about false teaching that they might hear. And then also trying to make sure we don't give it too much attention.
Right.
It's worth noting in some circumstances, but we don't want to give it too much attention because we just want to preach what the truth is.
Yeah.
But this is, I think it's worth mentioning, but I don't want to spend a lot of time on it. But it's really just a science fiction theory that the word giants here is translated from a Hebrew word, Nephilim. And there's this idea that's really based on the non-canonized Book of Enoch.
Yeah.
That fallen angels came and had children with people, the sons of God being the fallen angels, came and had children with humans. And then that created these giants and these men of renown. And there's no basis for that.
Amen.
At all. You should be able to, if you hear that, I think it's so off the wall. anyone should be able to say that's purely fiction, right? But furthermore, Jesus said when he was speaking of the angels are not, they don't marry and they're not given in marriage. So that is not at all what this is talking about. So if you ever hear that, just ignore it. It might be an indicator that if you're hearing that from some source, you know, usually when people are off on the crazy, crazy things, you probably want to take the rest of what they say with a big grain of salt too. So if you ever hear somebody promoting the Nephilim, you better be careful about everything they say.
All right.
Amen. But what is it talking about then? If it's not talking about that, which is not, what's it talking about? I think it's just as simple as the sons of God, those that were children of God, that were dictated and guided by the worship of Jehovah God,
right. That
were taught that by their ancestors, primarily in the lineage of Seth.
Amen.
What did they do when they started noticing young ladies? Well, they did not make marriage decisions based on what their parents should have taught them.
Amen.
What did they see? They saw that the daughters of men, and I think it's a very applicable distinction that we have seen with the lineage of Cain and the lineage of Seth, because it has a sharp contrast with not just worldview, but the way that you are going to raise your children. Let's look again. Excuse me, quickly at the lineage of Cain, and they are all about building cities and naming them after their children. They are well known for being the father of those that dwell in cattle. They're well known for being the father of those that handle the harp and the organ. They're well known as a instructor of every artificer in brass and iron. But furthermore, look at especially Lamech. Okay, this is Genesis 4, Lamech. You will find, and pay attention to this as you read your Bible, people that are given the name that include the letters B-A-L or B-E-L, that is the name of false god Baal. Now, some places it's B-A-A-L, some places it's B-A-L, some places it's B-E-L. But we see this in other places in the Bible as well. When Daniel went into Babylon, they named him Belteshazzar. They're naming him after the false god Baal. Jezebel, her name ends in B-E-L. She's named after the false god Baal. You will find a lot of names all throughout the Bible with B-A-Ls and B-E-Ls. And that is someone naming their child after the false god Baal. Now, Lamech names three of his kids Jabal, Jubal, or Jabal, and then Tubal, Cain. So he named three of his kids, it's highlighted here in Scripture, he named them after a false god. Lamech is the first person to openly breach, at least in Scripture, openly breach the standard of God's covenant of marriage of one man and one woman for one lifetime. He married two women. Why? Because he wanted to. Because he was interested in this other lady, and he had no restrictions because of his faithfulness to a covenant that he had made with his wife. Okay? And then Lamech, we're also told, killed at least two people.
Right.
So I want you to think about the household of the way that Lamech raised his children. He named them after false gods. He married more than one woman, and he was literally going around killing multiple people. And how's that contrasted with the line of of Seth. Well, we have all these godly men, but the pinnacle of that is Enoch, who walked with the Lord, and the Lord translated it.
Amen.
And it's very interesting, the sharp contrast here. A tale of two Lamechs, to a large degree. Lamech was actually Noah's dad. Well, what did Noah do? I mean, what did Lamech do? He named his son Noah. Why? This is Genesis 5 and 29. The same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord had cursed. Now, Lamech of Cain's lineage, they're all about the ground and the world. And it feels like Lamech is really starting to feel the curse of the world encroaching upon him.
Yeah.
And he's saying, I'm hopeful that this son that the Lord has given me, I'm hopeful that he can bring comfort to me, to our family, and to others in the midst of a world that we so acutely see the curse of sin upon the people around us, upon the ground. But notice the sharp contrast, no doubt, between the way that Lamech of the lineage of Cain was raising his children, and then the way that Lamech of the lineage of Seth was raising Noah.
Right.
Now, the sons of God, those of the lineage of Noah, those that had been raised with the standard of the worship and the offering of Jehovah God, there came a time where they saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they had chose. There is a consistent warning, not just in the New Testament, but also in the Old Testament, of being very cautious, not of intermarrying between races. It has nothing to do with ethnicity. It has everything to do with the sons of God going in unto the daughters of men.
Amen.
Okay? And the warning that they're given in the book of Deuteronomy in the Old Testament when they are going into the land of Canaan is they are commanded, Deuteronomy 7 and verse 3, neither shalt thou make marriages with them, thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son. Speaking of an Israelite, the father should not give approval for his son or his daughter to marry anyone of the lineage of the Canaanites. Why? Because they were worshipers of false gods. And not just were they worshipers of false gods, but it would inevitably talk about how you raise your children. It is just beyond appalling. I have no brain capacity to understand how anyone, even a non-elect person, an unregenerate person, could be so deceived by false religion that they offered their children as a sacrifice to a false god, to kill their children and to burn them. You want to talk about, it's not just simply a matter of what decisions are we going to make in the rearing of your children. If you marry someone that believes in the worship of Baal, you're probably going to have to be fighting them to not kill your child. I mean, so why would you marry that person, right? I mean, if I have to wake up, I can't sleep at night because my spouse might decide while I'm sleeping to go offer my child to a false god. I mean, it's not just a matter of, oh, you know, we're bowing down to a graven image. Yes, that's horrible, and yes, you shouldn't do that. But talk about raising your kids. Most foreign, idolatrous religions had some form of human sacrifice, child sacrifice. So do not marry them. Don't give your daughter, for they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. And so will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. So the reason why there is a prohibition against the intermarrying with Canaanites is because the New Testament summarizes this as, how can you be, and you should not be, and it will cause nothing but problems, if you are unequally yoked
yes.
with an unbeliever. 2 Corinthians 6. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? They are the opposite. I mean, darkness is the absence of light. What concord? What accord? What unity? What agreement hath Christ with Belial? You know, there is no new thing under the sun.
Amen.
You know, we're going to see in just a few chapters. You have kind of the kindlings of this with Cain, but just a few chapters later in the book of Genesis, you see Nimrod beginning the kingdom that becomes known as Babylon.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that all the way throughout the entire Bible.
Amen.
We see Baal and Belial all throughout the entire Bible. What concord, what fellowship has Christ with a false god? And what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be to me a people. What's the response? For the sons of God. Again, what's the problem? The sons of God went in unto the daughters of men, and vice versa. As well, the daughters of God went in unto the sons of men. But wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate. There has to be a distinction.
Amen.
There has to be a distinction between righteousness and unrighteousness, between Christ and Belial. Come out from among them and be and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. There has to be a distinction, okay? So the Lord tells his people, and no doubt this should have been, you know, there are plenty of examples of parents who knew the right thing to do, and they didn't drill it home like they should have, or maybe they did teach it, and the children just didn't respond. But regardless of whether there was a failure at the parent level or a failure at the acceptance of that at the child level, the sons of God went in unto the daughters of men. And what happens in comparatively just a few generations? It is just, it's beyond shocking.
Yes.
I mean, this earth is not millions of years old. It's not billions of years old. It's about 6,000 years old. But only 1,600 years into this creation, the Lord said, things have got so bad that I'm going to wipe everybody out except for eight people and start over with the only person that is truly seeking grace in my eyes in this generation.
Hmm.
And again, how many elect, born again, children of God were killed in the flood Why? Because they were living just like Lot was living in Sodom.
Amen.
Right? Their righteous soul was vexed daily.
Amen.
And they did not respond to Noah, who was a preacher of righteousness through his actions, probably verbally as well. But how did they get to that destination? It started with the fall of the family.
Mm-hmm.
And how did the family fall? It started with the fall of the covenant of marriage.
Amen.
And the covenant of marriage being based on two people with a like-minded allegiance and fidelity, first of all, to God. And through their allegiance to God, a fidelity to each other. And a commitment to the covenant. Okay? You know that Lamech was not teaching his children about the importance of marriage when he's marrying two women.
That's right.
Right? And you know it only began to escalate. You know, if dad was able to marry two, hey, there's this third woman I'm interested in. I mean, what's to stop?
Yeah.
There's no cap on that. It only has to do with me indulging my own flesh and my own lust with no restrictions. Okay? The days of Noah and the environment in Sodom are the two examples that are given by Jesus of the environment that will be replicated prior to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
In Luke chapter 17, we have a reference to this in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 24 as well. Let's read the language in Luke 17. Luke 26. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. Now, what was the environment of Noah's day? They did eat and drink, and they married wives and were given in marriage. They were marrying everyone they were interested in. They were divorcing whoever they weren't interested in anymore. It was a revolving door. They were married and given in marriage, and until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot. Now it describes Lot right here, but it's comparing the two. So it is also said of the days of Noah. They did eat and they drank and they bought and they sold. And they planted and they built it. They were wholly invested in the world.
Yeah.
In everything that was, and that was the legacy of the lineage of Cain, right? They're creating these brass and iron, and they're building cities, and they're creating musical instruments and all these things that they're. They're advancing in a worldly sense and abandoning the worship of Jehovah God that we see originally instituted and manifested in Abel, who had his life taken, but he was the pattern that Seth followed after.
Yeah.
Okay? So the environment of the days of Noah and the environment of Lot and Sodom is what is described will be the environment prior to the second coming of the Lord.
Mm.
Just like how there were millions of people in this world, there were not only eight elect people. There's no reason to think the city of Sodom was not a city of hundreds of thousands of people. And the only people that came out, Lot and his family by extension, the child of God who came out didn't even want to leave.
Right.
The only reason why the angel pulled him out was not because of Lot. It was because of Abraham.
Amen.
Okay? So the child of God that had his soul, that had his righteous soul vexed daily, when the Lord said, "You need to get out of here, I'm about to burn this up," he said, "I don't want to leave." Why? Because he was wholly invested in the world. And don't you know, Noah had, the specific lineage that we're given in Scripture is given to us for the purpose of the exact years of the genealogy to prove the age of the earth and to prove the lineage of the Messiah. But you know, Noah had jillions of cousins.
Right, amen.
It gives you the lineage so you can follow the messianic lineage. But after that, these people are having children at age 500, 600. And they begat sons and daughters. There is no telling how many children these people had.
Amen.
Noah had a lot of cousins. Right? There is a lot of people that should have heard the same teaching that he heard.
Yes.
But you know what? The Lord lumped him in with everyone else that the thoughts of man's heart was only evil continually. And that descent into, I can't think of an example in Scripture beyond your conscience being seared with a hot iron. But what is even so far above and beyond that must have been where these people were at. I mean, how is it that a child of God could be so engrossed in the world in the days of Noah and in the days of Sodom that they are engaging as wholeheartedly in ungodliness and wickedness? And it's not just there. No doubt it was manifesting in their actions, because Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, and all these external actions come from the heart. But the thoughts of man's heart was only, it wasn't just the actions were horrible, but the reasons why the actions were horrible, because their mind was totally corrupted. But understand, there is scores upon scores upon scores of children of God, born again, children of God, in Noah's day and in Sodom, that because of the way that they chose to live, they lost their physical life. Okay? Now, when we get to the last days, you know, it really is, I hope that maybe my understanding of Scripture is not exactly right. Because it compares the days prior to the second coming of the Lord to the destruction of Jerusalem, where people were eating their own children. It describes it as in the book of Daniel, it describes it as a time of trouble that the earth has never seen before. I can't fathom that. And there's some degree, just like there was of the Israelites in Goshen, there's some degree of protection that the Lord gives to his elect during these times that are tremendously dangerous. Think about just the physical danger that you had living in Sodom.
Right.
You see that quickly exhibited when those angels came, and they're coming to gang rape those people.
Yeah.
The physical danger of living in Sodom, the physical danger possibly of the last days. But there's some degree of a providential hedge that the Lord puts around his people. But when we start seeing these descriptions of the second coming of the Lord, and they're as the days of Noah, and they're as the days of Sodom, and evil men and seducers, they're going to wax worse and worse and it talks about a falling away, and it talks about the love of many shall wax cold. We're talking about children of God here.
Yeah.
Children of God that are so ingrained in the things of the world that they see no problem wholly engaging in idolatry, in child sacrifice, and I think the praise the Lord that Roe versus Wade was overturned.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we've had our own mini version of child sacrifice in America for 30 or 40 years.
Right.
But prior to the second coming, the descriptions of the culture is so wicked, of the days of Noah and the days of Sodom, and the suffering seems to be so heightened. It's really hard for us to reconcile, or at least for me it is. And maybe my understanding of Scripture is not exactly right. It'd be a blessing if it wasn't. But in the midst of all of that, we have the corruption of the family, we have the corruption of marriage, we have the corruption of the family, and when you continue to see the decay, our churches are built on families. And when marriages decay, families decay. And when families decay, the church decays. And when the church decays, there is no salt and light to be had in the culture. And what does the culture do? It rots.
Yeah.
Okay? That's what happened in a very, very short period of time. But if that's the graph, you know, I know that we are closer to the second coming of the Lord than we've ever been.
Amen.
At this exact second. I can say that with confidence, okay? And we are definitely on the downward graph. I don't know where we're at in the whole timeline, but we are definitely on the downward graph. So what is it for us to do in the midst of a culture that is that given to wickedness? But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You know what he did while everybody else was indulging, when they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving it? You know what he did? He was swinging his hammer every day. He was just swinging his hammer. He was doing what he was called to do. He was serving God when everyone else was just wholly engaged in the world.
Amen.
And they got to that destination because of the fall of the family. But notice what Noah did. This is Hebrews 11. We'll close with this. Hebrews 11 and verse 7. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house.
Yes.
He saved his family.
Amen.
From physical death. And he saved his family on a daily basis.
Yeah.
From protecting them as best he could from the wicked, untoward generation that was around them. And you know what? There is way too many problems in this world for us to feel the burden that we've got to fix all of them. The only thing that I can do is just do what I can do, according to the Word of God, to save my house.
Amen.
To save my family. To swing my hammer according to God's will, according to the commandment of God that I've been called to do in my measure. I'm going to swing my hammer according to my measure and find grace in the eyes of the Lord. And that's the only thing we can focus on. And you know what? If you do that, man, the darker things get, one little bitty light shines so far.
Amen.
In the midst of the worse the darkness is, the more light shines, has a broader reach.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
So, yes, it is very disturbing to see the graph. You know, we bemoan how horrible things are in America. Yes, it's we absolutely wasted the providential hand of God that was upon our country for a 100 to 200 year period. We absolutely wasted it.
Yeah.
We absolutely wasted the First Amendment. We wasted it. So now that we're regressing back to the mean of how all of culture has been, now we're having to actually deal with what all of God's children have dealt with throughout all of time. Okay? So what are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to do? Understand that there is unmerited favor every single day in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And you can't stop the decay of culture as a whole, but you can stop any decay in your family and in your church and in your community. And again, if we just let our light shine and fulfill our calling to be salt in the manner that we ought to, the culture, if the church, how did the whole culture get that bad? There was no salt preserving it. You understand that? There were children of God that their salt was cast underfoot of men and it was good for nothing.
Right.
That's how the culture rotted to such a degree that the Lord said, I'm wiping them out. So how do we preserve to prevent that decay? Just do what we're called to do, right? Be the salt of the earth and the light of the world, and we always find grace in the eyes of Jesus Christ.